Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Well, we have a wonderful man of God going to deliver the Word of God, and it's your own Terry Wilson. Come on up, brother.
Pray for me. My kidneys hurt.
I guess he's getting, you getting permission from Brenda?
Yeah. I need to know what to say. Isn't that how you do it? You ask Brenda what to say? A wise man. I figured if it worked for you, I'd see how much it worked for me. Last time I taught on this, and that'll be it, folks. Good.
Time out. Just found out what he leaned over and told Brenda is kidneys are bothering him right now. So let's just agree that, listen, I just don't want him to preach. I want him to be well.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. So let's stand in agreement that the Lord will touch him now. Amen. Would you do that?
Thank you, Lord.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to bless Terry with your healing touch. I pray, God, that you would just begin to touch his kidneys. Yes, Lord, if there's any stones, we just ask you now to dissolve them. Just take them away. Lord, we ask you for the pain to subside. We ask you, Father, that he would have the freedom in his body, that just as well in the spirit of the living God, to be able to deliver this message without any pain, without any discomfort. So touch his body, and Lord, we just call him healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
I just want to take 30 seconds, and I hate to interrupt right here. I had touched base with Pastor Terry the other day, and I said, I really need to make sure that Randy gets this last sermon on the media. I tell you, y'all, I've been listening to Terry over and over and over on that fathersvineyard.org, the media, and I encourage you to listen to it over and over and over, but... I was telling Pastor Terry, you know, God is just bringing me to a new place. You know, we're quick to call him God, Savior, but we don't want to call him Lord. And I tell you, I've been listening to it over and over and over and over and over. And I said, Pastor, it's just crazy what God is doing in my life. He said, Gina, who have you been listening to? I said, you, Pastor. So I encourage you to get his, go listen to the Seekers versus Seekers. Are we seeking or are we settling? And I'm telling you, it'll change your life. When we're sitting in here, we don't always get it. But listen to it over and over and over and over, and it will change your life.
Amen. Fathersvineyard.org. You can always go to fathersvineyard.org and check out the media there and listen to anything. If you're out a Sunday or something, it's there. The guys in the media team are very faithful, put it up. It's usually up, Randy, Monday, Tuesday at the latest. The Sunday service is up. I don't know who does that, but it seems like they get it up pretty quick. It might be Wednesday, but hey, if it's Thursday, don't gripe. It'll be all right. It'll get there, but it's usually there. Amen. Last time I taught on this, I was at another church, and a guy came up to me, serious theologian. He said, Brother Terry, are you an apologist? And I said, well, I am married, so I practice a lot. I had to look up later what he was asking me. The word apologetics comes in. It's from a Greek word. It means apologios, which is basically giving a reasoning for our faith. There's a reason. And we don't have just blind faith. We have faith in God because we build our faith on what he said and what we see him do. We have a more sure word that we build our faith upon. And I want to tell you, what you believe is paramount to how you succeed. There is no success with bad belief systems. There are temporary gains, but ultimate failures. When we build our lives upon a false premise. And I want to tell you, more than any time, you know, the world has always had competing opinions. The world has always had different ideas. The world has always disagreed. But no time in written history has everyone had a megaphone called social media, internet, text, to just tell you how they feel and broadcast it to the world. So more than ever now, there's these competing ideas, competing thoughts, trying to mold, to make, and to shape how you think and how you believe. I'm telling you, what you believe about yourself, what you believe about God, and what you believe about reality will ultimately dictate how life will turn out for you. You might have your ticket to heaven, but you'll come in maybe smelling like smoke. I'm telling you, because you took some detours that just was not required. You didn't have to go there. Man, how many times I've been on some detours. Anybody else in here been on a few detours? Man, I'll tell you what, look at the road sign, hallelujah. Stop, watch, and roll. Maestro, have y'all ever listened to 15 songs in 2 minutes? Well, today you can't say that after this. Go ahead, Maestro.
And then I saw her face.
Songs in under 2 minutes, only at Father's Vineyard. I sat down right before to come up, and Scott Howe looked over me and said, "You're speaking today?" I said, "Yeah." And did you notice they announced it after they took up the offering? Tell you, Pastor Terry been around it for a time or two. He knows timing is everything. You know, in that little medley there, the Monkees want you to believe that once you see something, then you can believe it. Because I saw her face, and now I'm a believer. But what if you don't see? Can you believe? And Journey says, don't stop believing. Just hold on to that feeling. Are your beliefs up and down by how you feel? And then my personal favorite, a man that I relate to, Brother Michael McDonald, he says, oh, what a fool believes, and he sees. But no wise man can talk him out of it. No wise man, once a fool believes something, that's what he sees. And no wise man has the power to reason away, because he done believed it. I done believed it. Sarah says, can you believe in life after love? I don't know, because according to who she was married to, Rod Stewart says he's still looking for a reason to believe. R. Kelly believes that gravity has no effect on him, so he can just jump. He believes he can fly. Lecrae says some won't believe until they see fire from the sky. Is it going to take that for us to believe? Vince Gill is just crying to some woman because he was unfaithful. I never understood that song, Charlie. He says, I still believe in you. And then he goes in talking about everything he did. Well, does she believe in you? Never understood that song. And Red Hot Chili Peppers there, they claim to believe, but they never say what they believe. And Jeremy Camp says he believes in the attributes that's testified in the Bible
about God. What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about life? What do you believe about yourself? Mark 11:24 says this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it, and it'll be yours." And then Mark 16:16 says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will accompany those who believe." Paul says in Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." What do you believe? See, what you believe will dictate what you do. You know why I didn't jump? Because I believe I'm about 200 pounds. I believe that tile floor would stop me more abruptly than I want. So I believe I'll stay put. What I believe will dictate what I do. What you believe will dictate where you live, where you work, where do you go to church. How do you respond to criticism? How do you respond to hard times? How do you respond to what you see in the news? Because what you believe will dictate what you do. There's no way around it. What you believe will also dictate how dedicated you are to what you believe. What do you dedicate yourself to? When we believe something, we can easily dedicate to it. Why do I quit when certain times I'm challenged in certain areas? Why do I never quit on certain things, even in the face of challenge? It's because what I believe. What you believe dictates what you do, and it will dictate how dedicated you are, and it'll ultimately dictate where you end up. Not both just eternally, but temporarily. I am where I'm at today because of what activities I've engaged in trying to hear from God, good, bad, or indifferent. My destination in life right now is because of what I believe. See, a religion about Jesus tries to modify your behavior without addressing a belief system. But a relationship with Jesus says, "I want to believe like you believe. I want to have your mind. I want to have your thought process. I want to do things, see things, hear things, feel things. I want to experience life like you do." And when I have that mindset, my behavior then changes. But if you try to put behavior before belief, well, you'd be like me on a diet. I can go a couple weeks eating bark, drinking water, but it's affected my attitude. System. As I'm going on this diet, trying to cleanse my system, I start recognizing things. Don't think that didn't escape me. But I believe that I agree with him about what he says about health. Then I believe I can agree with him of what he says about healing. Does that make sense? So I'm going to agree with him. I want to believe what he says, not what I think. See, beliefs are choices. We get to choose what we're going to believe. You didn't just happenstance and fall into this thinking pattern, this world view, and this belief system. You might have been raised a certain way. You might have been raised in a certain culture. But ultimately, what you believe is dictated by you. I can tell you empirically, two people the same age, raised just about in the same household, going to the same church, being taught the same way, today live two separate lives. I'm on one path, and a person who is like a brother to me is on a completely different path. We were taught the same. We experienced life the same. So what happened? And I'm not saying I'm better than him or vice versa. I'm just saying we're on a different path. Just saying we're in different places. That wasn't a judgmental statement, by the way. I'm just saying, why can two people genetically connected, raised in the same environment, how does that happen? Because of what I choose and he chooses to believe. Choices we make are informed, directed, and energized by what we believe. It's a futile task, like I said, to try to change behavior that does not harmonize with a belief. Religion about Jesus just simply modifies behavior. Modified behavior without a meaningful relationship, like I said, is just window dressing. And that's what happens. Religion teaches you just to dress up, look right, act right, talk right. Don't worry about if you are right. In a relationship with God, he's after the heart, folks. He's after what you believe. He don't care how you look. We spend so much time in times past talking about how people look, talk, act, dress, or how they vote. We get all concerned about everything, but what do you believe? Because see, what you believe will drive all that other stuff. The other stuff will take care of itself. How do you believe? What do you believe? I love this poem. It says, our deepest fear is not we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? And my question is actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. You're playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure about you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make a manifest the glory of God that is now within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I'm telling you, if you'll grab a hold of who you are, if you'll agree with God or what he says about you and step out on faith and start doing some things that he's called you to do, the windows of heaven, it just amazingly will open up. But get ready, there'll be critics, there'll be haters, there'll be people that says, well, who does he think he is? But that's okay. I'm a child of God. That's exactly who I am. Someone asked me the other day, I was in an interview, and says, why do you think this, this, and this? Why do you think your business has done this? And why do you think, the heart of the question was, why do you feel like people subscribe to you and take your coaching and stuff like that? And I said, it's very simple. They look at me, and they say, dadgum, if that boy can do it, anybody can. And I say that half-heartedly, but what I mean by this is this. I'm no super polished person. I'm no super intellect. I'm no great, wonderful talent. I am who I am. And the one thing I've had to learn over my lifetime is to be okay with that, because that's who God made me to be. And what happens, folks, is when you get comfortable with you, you give other people permission to get comfortable with you. But when we try to put on airs and be something that we're not, you know what happens? Subconsciously, this is what people think. They might not say it. Well, if he's not happy with himself, why should I be? If he don't like him, then what is there there not to like? They're not thinking that consciously, but subconsciously, we are designed to literally within 2.5 seconds measure people up by our senses and figure out, okay, can I trust this person? Can I not trust this person? Is this person valid or are they not? Are they telling me the truth or there's something there? And you don't even know what's going on, but you were designed and wired in such a way. All of a sudden, and my kidneys are completely healed. I just felt that twinge went away. But they will see that you're comfortable. You're okay with you. And they don't even know it. And then they're saying, well, you know, I guess I'm okay with Terry if he's okay with Terry. But it all starts with what you believe about yourself, what you believe about God. Is God lying about you? Is God lying about the way things are? Is God lying about reality? Can he be trusted? Can he be believed? There's several things that shape how we believe. 2 Peter is where we're going to hang out today for the next 15, 20 minutes. Peter says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were what? Eyewitnesses of his majesty." And then it goes on to verse 17. "For when he received honor and glory from God and the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves," what? This very voice born from heaven. "For we were with him on the holy mountain." And it goes on to say, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture came from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." One of the things that will shape what you believe is who you believe. Who do you believe? The first thing that will shape what and how you believe is who you believe. There are a lot of things competing for your ears and eyes in the world. We live in a world that not only does everyone have an opinion, but they have this big megaphone now. You know, before fake news became a political buzzword, fake news has been around a long time, folks. I point you to the Gnostic Gospels. If you don't believe me, study it. There are people that seen, heard, and wrote down in the presence of eyewitnesses so it could be vetted with everybody around. If I'm not telling the truth, then speak up. And then there was people that years later, after everyone died off, decided to write down their account. The question is, who do you believe? Who do you believe? Because that's going to have a direct impact on what you believe. Secondly, when you're talking and you say, "Well, Terry, how do you measure what someone's telling me?" Well, is it a myth or is it witnesses? "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths, but witnesses." When Scripture was canonized, it was written down, the New Testament was written down by eyewitness accounts. People that saw, people that heard. They wrote it down in the presence of other eyewitnesses. Don't you think if what they said wasn't true, it would have popped up? There's a whole different thing of coming years later saying, "Well, this is what I heard through hearsay and this and that." No, Scripture was written down and canonized by eyewitnesses. It was puffery. Prophecy, not puffery. "When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus." You want to know if you can believe someone? Who are they pointing to, themselves or God? Puffery is a marketing term. It means I'm going to over-exaggerate and really inflate self-praise. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a world today, I understand the pressures on ministry and men and churches and everything. I understand that. But when their advertisements and everything they say and do is about them, that's puffery. That's not prophecy. Now, I'll shout to the rooftops, "This is what God is saying. This is what God is doing. Come experience what God is all about." Because he says, "Where I be lifted up." But when Terry Wilson gets lifted up, he'll draw like-minded people. He'll draw people that he can get along with. He'll draw people that are fans of his, but the people that are not will stay away. He will draw everything about Terry Wilson. So when I'm looking, can I believe someone? When I'm looking to, I need advice. I need to know, is this person shooting me straight? First thing I'm going to ask is, who are they promoting? In the context of ministry, who are they promoting? Because that's going to go a long way in telling me what they're about. Is it puffery or is it prophecy? Is it heard or hearsay? Listen, I want to hear. I want to hear from God. I don't want to hear about God. I want to hear it direct. And I want to be around people that will get me right in the presence of God. Now, I'm thankful for men that are speaking God's word and all that. I'm not discounting that. But I don't need no mediator. He is my mediator. He is my mediator. Now, he uses men. He uses people. I'm not, okay? But I don't want hearsay. That's great that he told Charlie that, but what did he tell Terry Wilson? All right? That's great that Pastor Howe gets it, but what's he telling Terry Wilson? Now, he can give both these men a word for me, but then it's for me. You see the difference? I don't want hearsay. I want direct connectivity. We ourselves heard, listen, verse 18 says, we ourselves heard this voice from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. You know what separates Christianity from every other religion? Relationship, it's God coming down to us rather than us trying to work some scheme up to him. And it is a faith based on a book that took 1,500 years to write over three different continents, over 33 different authors, and they all, without being able to corroborate each other's story, came together and said the same thing, that he is Lord. Completely different. Completely different than any other religion. Completely different. And if you don't understand that distinction, you don't understand that difference, then you all of a sudden have this false impression that, well, it's just another faith. Christianity's just another faith like everybody else. And it's not. Look at its origins. Look at how it came about. It's a faith that's built on what was heard, not what's on hearsay. I'm no lawyer. But they tell me, and you can object, you can cross witness here, but I hear hearsay is not admissible in court. Is that a legal thing? So why would you allow hearsay in the court of your mind? Why should it even be listened to? Why should it even be considered? Why to believe is the second thing that will shape what you believe. If you want to know what's shaping your belief system, it's who you believe and why you believe. The second thing that will shape that you believe is responding to believing something. Why do you believe one thing over the other? Let me ask you something. Is the content you're listening to confirmed or compromised? In verse 19, he says this, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. We have a more sure word. It's been confirmed. It's not compromised. Verse 19, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining. We have a word that helps and not hinders. This is a book that's based on what you can do, not what you can't do. If you're reading the Bible saying, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, you're reading it wrong. Change your glasses. Listen, Paul says we're what? Free to do. But not all things are what? So the question is not can I, it's just should I? Because the question of can I has been answered. Yeah, I can be a fool. But what a fool believes, he sees. And no wise man has the power to reason away. I'm telling you what you believe, what you believe will dictate how you succeed. It really does. It's time tested. This book has been around a while. It is, and the third thing and final thing of what you believe is going to be based on what you yield to. There's so many things in this world right now competing for you to, but just change your mind on this. I mean, culture is different nowadays. Society is different nowadays. The world has changed. I don't care. If you base your belief system on the status quo of the world today, the society, what the social norms are, what's politically correct, then it's going to change tomorrow. It was just last week I couldn't eat the yellow and the egg. Now they're telling me I can. I'm confused. This is good for you today, and tomorrow it'll be bad for you. If we base our belief systems on what popular opinion is for today, then guess what? Get ready for it to change tomorrow. Because it will. Because any belief system that's not based on absolute truth will change. Any of y'all ever have to testify before a judge? Don't brag about it, just ask me. I don't want to know why. Anyone in here have testified before the FBI? I have too, yeah. There's something about getting in front of people like that that makes a person really measure their words. I mean, before I would respond, I said, let me write this down and read it to myself and see how this resonates. Because I hear, here again, they teach lawyers how to parse words and make it say whatever it needs to. I mean, is that, I had to testify before the FBI one time, and it was on a business matter, and I knew I wasn't worried about telling the truth. That wasn't the issue. I'm going to tell the truth. But how I phrase this and state this is going to dictate the next meeting. I was very careful. I understood what that word meant. It says, wisdom is found in a multitude of counsel. And a wise word, which is what I was wanting to speak, will bring freedom to his people. When you're in front of that situation, you measure your words. There's a time in Scripture Jesus was in that same situation. You know that? There was a time in Scripture he was before a judge. They didn't appoint him an attorney. So I think that's got to be something. Rights are fringed on somehow there. I'm sure that ain't right. I've watched enough Perry Mason. I know that ain't right. But here he is up in front of this judge with his life in the balance, being cross-examined by the very person that's going to have the right to say what happens to him. Now, the difference between Jesus and I is it tells me in Scripture that he only said and did what his Father said and did. So every time Jesus spoke, there was no throwaway words. There was no just speaking off the top of his head. There was no Terry Wilson. You know, in the South, sometimes we just say things. You know what I'm saying? It don't mean nothing. Bless his heart. He's dumb as a box of rocks, bless his heart. You know, we don't mean it. We don't. But we'll say goofy stuff, you know, that you can't. We'll say stuff. I was out fishing the other day, and I'm telling you that bass was like this, Doug. You know that ain't true. You know that ain't true. But see, Jesus never did that. Jesus spoke all the time like he was in front of a judge, like everything he was saying was being measured, like he was going to be held account for everything he said. He spoke like I spoke that time in front of a judge and an SBI, an FBI, and local police. Carefully. So he was asked a question. He was asked a question. He says, Pontius Pilate looked at him. He says, why are you here? Now, if it had me, because they brought me here. I don't want to be here. I want to be home watching a ball game. I didn't do anything. I'm falsely accused. This ain't right. I'd have gone into 15 different defenses, and none of them would have worked. But I'd offered all kinds of things. But Jesus, under oath, knowing that what he carried the weight of his life in his hands, what did he say? For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world. Now stop right there. Some of you will then project what your favorite theological preference is. Jesus came to set us free. Woo! That's true, but that's not what he said. Jesus came to heal Terry's kidneys. That's true. That's not what he said. If you're an evangelical taught that the value of your ministry rises and falls on the amount of salvations, he would have said, I came in to get all these people saved. That's not what he said. Under oath, with his life in the balance, in front of a judge, what did he say? For this reason I was born, I came to testify to the truth. Testify to the truth. Why? Because it's only the truth that brings salvation, healing, deliverance, and all of these things that comes with the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if you don't base what you believe off of truth, if you don't yield to truth, it ain't gonna work out. It don't work out. Frank Sinatra can sing all day, I did it my way. And he might have. But I wished we could interview old Frank right now and ask him. I don't know. But what you believe will dictate what you do, what you dedicate yourself to, and ultimately where you end up, the success in life, your destinations right now. What you yield to, do you yield to his meaning? Oh, we're about to get in some thick. Verse 20 in 2 Peter here, read this. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. There is a distinction. Listen, he's gone, but I was going to use him as an example. There is a distinction between someone having a deeper revelation and someone having a private interpretation. There is a distinction, right? There is a distinction in people walking in a very deep revelation in something. But what they walk in is confirmed by the Holy Scripture and what's told to you and bear witness. I had to have a very hard meeting this past week with a pastor who looks at things completely different than I do. And it got heavy because his interpretation of Scripture to make certain cultural activity okay is not what the Bible says. It's not Bible. It's not Scripture. And needless to say, his halo got tilted with me. He almost went sideways. And I was like, well, you know, good people can disagree, but what about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, where's that at? We ain't talking about that right now. We're talking about your traditional evangelical conservative interpretation on cultural issues that have no meaning in today's society. I got to hear a demon. I said, well, who am I talking to now? See, because I'm in the business of marketing and promoting, helping business and entrepreneurs, people. And so he wanted marketing done for this particular, and I like, no. My name ain't going to be on that. Come hell or high water. It might be. Listen, it would be more popular for me right now online in today's world to go a different direction. It really would. I would not get any resistance, because the people that would resist would just keep quiet and say, man, I wish Terry would just, Lord, just be with Terry. It's the people that are pushing against the headwinds of truth. I'm telling you, are you looking at his meaning? And you say, well, what's his meaning? Scripture interprets Scripture, folks. Scripture interprets Scripture. I can make this Bible say anything I want if I'll just exegete one passage. But will that passage stand up to all this other stuff? If it don't, then it won't. Am I reading into Scripture? Or am I reading out of Scripture? Am I projecting what I want onto God's Word? Or am I saying, not my will, but your will be done? And no one's immune to this, folks. Listen, we are creatures of comfort. Everyone in here, we like our comfort. It's the way you're designed. But God, for some reason, I can't find anywhere in the passage where he's concerned with my comfort. And it's affected our relationship from time to time. Because I'm like, it just doesn't seem like you're upset that I'm a little irritated. And he's not. Do you know how many theological things I had to back up on, change, modify? If you're going to grow, the definition of growth is change. If you don't change, you don't grow. Because growth brings change. I was here, now I'm here. And it hurts. Eating bark and drinking water. Verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Your books right now are not a result of Terry Howe going out in the woods, writing a bunch of stuff down, and coming back and saying, here's the word of God. Can others say that? Can others say that? I'm telling you, you better be careful what you believe and what you yield to. Are you yielding to his will or what's popular right now? There ain't no pope, pontificate, or politician that's got a monopoly on God's will. He is Lord. He is God. He is sovereign. You know what that word? Boy, that's a tough word sometimes. You know, sovereign means he do what he wanted to do. Love it. Have anybody seen Ray Charles, a movie about Ray Charles? He's in there with all those music executives and, well, we want you to do this, and we need you to do this. And, Ray, what kind of music do you think you're going to be able to do? Hello, Ray. We're just going to let it do what it do, baby. And that's God. It's going to do what he's going to let it do. You ain't in control of it. I ain't in control of it. No man is in control of what God's going to do, which is a great thing. Very comforting. Because the moment that someone else can control what God's going to do, God ceased to be God. And all of a sudden, this person has gotten elevated. Right? Be careful what you yield to and whose will it is. Finally, his word. In verse 21, it says this, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 66 individual books written in 3 languages. Over 23,000 archaeological digs that never has once gone against what the Bible has said. Over 23,000 archaeological digs, many historical references only given in the Bible, only to be proven later by the digs. This city here was claimed here, this happened here, this claimed only in the Bible. That's the only book you would find it in. And then, lo and behold, years later, they dug up, and what did they see? Well, golly! Dadgum, that old book, but grandma must have been true. better be yielding to his word. What do you believe? Vodi Balcom, a hero of mine in the faith, an apologist that I recommend everyone in here to Google, study on your own time. He was raised a Buddhist. He got a scholarship to Texas to play football. Big old 6'2", bulky guy, great guy. He's got a teaching on why do I choose to believe the Bible. He got saved in college. He went off to Oxford, got a degree, and his seminary teacher there asked him that he wanted, I want you to write down, why do you choose to believe this? Why do you choose to believe what you believe when these people over here believe what they believe? And through study and scripture and trying to find out, well, why do I believe this? Because his theologian, the teacher, which was not a Christian necessarily, professor, was saying, you know, there's some people that are raised Buddhist. And Vodi inside himself just started laughing because he was raised Buddhist. And he chose to believe something else. So the question is, and Vodi had to really seek it out, why do I choose to believe the Bible? And it was this passage of scripture we just went through that opened up the world to him of why our faith is so much different. And he wrote this down, and I'll read it to you. It says, I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, reporting supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim their writings are divine and not human origin. When you ask most people, why do you believe in the Bible? Why do you believe in Christ? You get one or two answers. You either get, well, that's the way I was raised. Well, what if you were raised different? Or you say, well, I've tried it and it works for me. Well, the problem is that you can psychologically try anything and get some sort of results from it. I read a story about a guy one time that went to an AA meeting, you know, 12-step program to try to get it out from alcoholism. And one of the steps was to find your higher power. He goes into his room there later that evening trying to find his higher power, and a squirrel shows up on the little ledge right there. And he says, well, that must be the universe telling me that's my higher power. So he starts praying to squirrels. It sounds crazy, but guess what? He never drank another drop of alcohol. Every time he had an urge, what did he do? Squirrel. He'd try to find a squirrel. What we have is a faith, not some sort of psychological doping mechanism to psych ourselves out. It's completely different. We live in this word that is a living, breathing, spiritual dynamic that you cannot get from any other article of faith. What you believe has a huge impact on how you succeed. I'm telling you, guard your hearts with due diligence because out of it comes the issues of life. Everything we're going to go through, folks, is because of what we decided to allow to bring into our eyes, our ears, our heart, and then suddenly give place to it. God will take us to places we've never even could imagine, dream, or think of. He'll be better to you than you ever thought was imagined. He wants more for you than you want for yourself. But you got to believe. You don't have to work. You don't have to do this. You don't have to write 15 Hail Marys or throw a Hail Mary. I don't know what they do with Mary, and I don't know why they cuss her before they do it. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to. I've never understood that. You know? But I know what it means. Hail Mary, full of faith. I get it. But you don't, it's a matter of you grabbing a hold of what God says about you and daring yourself to believe it. I dare you. I dare you to take God's word for you seriously. I dare for you to take this book seriously. on another level. I know some of you say, well, Terry, I'm a Christian. I'm on another level. Where are you at right now? Where do you want to be? Where's God called you to? What great things are inside of you if you would just unleash them by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit? Is anyone here today not a Christian? Because if you're not a Christian, today's your day. If you have not experienced this marvelous work of grace that's afforded to you by the work of what he did, and not what you have to, then today's your day. You can come on up. We'll have prayer partners right here that'll pray for you right now. This is your time. This is your call. This is your invitation. If you don't know this marvelous work of grace, God's here today to do a marvelous work. Amen. What do you believe? What do you believe? I believe he is the way. He is the truth. And he is an exceedingly abundantly above anything I could ever imagine or dream life. He'll take you to places that you will never even imagine if you only believe. Amen. How many's got a home group tonight? How many's got a home group tonight? If you got a home group tonight, go to your home group. If you got a home group, go to your home group. If you're not in a home group right now, you have the opportunity to support one of your elders. I heard that, is it Bishop Doug Logan? Is that what we call you now? Or is it Pope Doug Logan? I can't remember. We'll just go with Bishop T.D. Logan. Elder Logan is preaching tonight at Restoration, Jerry Hames Church at 6 o'clock. If you don't have a home group, go out and hear the man of God speak. He's walked through some things. He's had some things. Life has tried to touch him, but they weren't. See, when you're a child of God, life can try to touch you, but here's the thing you get to do. You get to touch life. It's a whole different, that's a, you know, you can be touched by life or you can be a child of God and you can touch life. Here and no further. This is what we're going to do. As far as me and my house, this is how we roll. Amen? God bless you guys. Welcome your pastor. Come on, give him a hand. Was that an abrupt ending?
Great job. Great job. Great word. Give God praise for the word. we're gonna close out, but I just want to let you know what you have here. We're very special at this house of God's blessings and teachers and pastors and preachers. And I tell you, it's pretty awesome to see it. And the reason I know that is because Pastor John is out preaching today in our community, and he's going to be doing a revival tonight, today, and all the way through Wednesday. Pastor Russell is teaching or preaching up in Arden today. Pastor Terry Wilson preached here today. Reverend Doug Logan will be preaching at Restoration today. And I'm just awestruck with the amount of anointed speakers. Wouldn't you say anointed speakers? Very anointed with the word of God, with the truth of God. And I want you to know how special it is that God is pouring out. And we have pastor or minister, Reverend O.A. Fish. And I mean, we just have bunches of people that knows the word of God and can expound on it gracefully and very powerfully. So understand God's goodness to this place. Do not take it for granted. We have so many people that can fill this pulpit better than me, you know. So it's an awesome place to be in, to come and hear the word of God, to be encouraged by the word of God, to be filled by the Spirit of God, and led in a direction that honors God. That true? Amen. Stand to your feet. I think it's an awesome time today. Amen. I did see a T-shirt on a lady. Matter of fact, it was Friday, and it said, do your own thing. And I looked at it, and I was reminded by God, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's when society began to go downhill. And this nation, listen, this nation needs our prayer. This nation needs the very manifestation of Jesus alive in us. This nation needs God. So let's pause for a moment and let's pray for this nation. Father, I thank you that we have the privilege to come before you. In all the situations that's going on, with all the violence, with all the opinions, would speak to heart. Only yours matters. And I ask you now, God, that you would speak to hearts. And as you said in the passage earlier, that you keep your eye on the nations so people should not turn against you. And Father, we ask you to bring the spirit of repentance to this nation. Lord, let our hearts be broken over the nature of lawlessness. And Lord, let our hearts be filled with your mighty presence. Let our leaders and the government be touched by the truth of the living God. We love you, and we ask you, God, to reach deep into this nation's heart and bring us to a place that honors and glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone agreed by saying, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.